There was a song in our book, number 409. We're probably most everybody familiar with that just by the number. We sing it quite a bit in our altar calls. It's called Eternity. I want to just pull out a little thought about out of the second verse of that song. It says, I lingered and silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years, and thought of the fate of the guilty when Christ in his glory appears. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost, for eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. And I'm interested in this thought this morning. As I thought what a moment might cost. And I want to explore that a little bit in your mind today, if I could focus you in on the idea of a moment. A moment. The songwriter kind of got a hold of that to put a great emphasis on a slight bit of time. A moment. Just a moment. Yeah, that's what he said. I thought what a moment. What a moment might cost. And I think every one of us, you may have smooth sailing in your life today. You may be not having faced a lot of decisions today. But many times life will bring us to the crossroads of life. You'll come into a place and now there's the time has brought you the moment. There's a moment to where you're going to have to make a decision about something. It can be critical, and many times we don't see. And this is what I really want us to get hold of. We don't really see the evidence of what the moment might cost. The songwriter was thinking about that when he was thinking about the grand idea of eternity. Yes. And he thought about not necessarily that span of time between the moment and eternity, but his mind was drawn to focus in on that moment. That moment is one of the most crucial, important things that you can come into. Yes. That moment, to where the decision is made, the direction is set. It doesn't unfold the fullness of what it's going to be yet, but it's that time element there, that little bit, that moment to where you decide something. You remember the famous part of the scriptures where who was it? Joshua made, choose you this day. Choose you this. Here's your moment. Your moment's come. The moments come. See, we got a situation in our world right now. I don't mean to get into politics, but there is a political element to this. But there's a thing going on. There's a war going on kind of now. There's some hostilities going on in the Middle East. That hostilities all has to do with a country over there that has vowed in its rhetoric for many, many decades now. I've been alive long enough to know it. That they call the United States the Great Satan and Israel's the Little Satan, and they have promised that if there's anything they could do, that these heathen, these infidel people will destroy them if we can. And they have endeavored to get a nuclear weapon. And the game changes. You have to understand something. There is a moment. There is a moment that changes everything about this. There is a great difference in this world between a nation that has nuclear weapons and one that doesn't. Okay, that's a big, big moment. And the idea is that this nation that has proclaimed these things can never come to that moment. Because if they come to that moment, you have to deal with them differently than they do before that moment. As long as they don't have that, and they don't have to the ability to actually obliterate large cities and do that, you can deal with them differently than you can at that moment. Now, that moment, there is people that has declared that moment cannot happen. We can never get to that moment. If we get to that moment, we're too far gone, and the ramifications are going to be enormous if we let the world get to that place. And so, like I say, that's got a political element. You may believe that or not believe it, but that is the scenario that's set up. We can't afford that moment to ever come. Do you know we have things that comes in times that comes in, we have moments that comes into our life that to understand what it might be. What would the end of that be? Where is that moment going to take us? And I want us to realize something. My grandmother said this back when she was alive years ago. My uncles, they liked to drink, and my grandmother, she was a good old saint, and she preached against it. She'd tell them to. And my grandmother and one of my uncles was in a conversation one day, and my uncle said, "Now, Mom, you can't tell me that it is bad for a person to drink one beer." And my grandmother said, "Well, maybe not. But I've never seen anybody drink one before they or drink two before they drink one." That is an absolute fact. You can't drink two until you drink one. One is the moment, folks. This is where I'm bringing this to in our mind. Here is the moment. You can't drink two until you drink one. You can't spend all of your money till you spend some of it. You can't get way off until you're a little off. The direction is pointed, and you may say, "Well, I'm only a little off." Well, little off don't stay little off. And according to the writer of 409, he thought, what a moment, that moment. Draw your mind into the moment. Not the far off that I'm addicted to drugs. Not far off that I'm an alcoholic. Not far off that I'm so downcast, I'm down, all of these things. Bring yourself back to a moment, because that's where it all starts, is at a moment. That moment sometimes seems very insignificant. It doesn't seem like it amounts to much, but it's a great moment. And I want to explore a little bit of the scriptures with this in mind, thinking about this. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, there's a familiar scripture here, Jesus talking and saying what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he says in the first verse, "The kingdom, then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." They all knew what they was going for, right? Now, I'm supposing I can have this liberty that if you line these, at this point, if you line these 10 people up, you couldn't tell the difference. Yeah. Right? I mean, that's the illusion, is that there's 10 versions and they all have the same cause. If you all ask them, "What are you doing?" they'd all said, We're going to see the bridegroom, right? I mean, this is what they're doing. And it says, "Then five of them were wise and five were foolish." That's their states. Like, I can't see that, but that's their... Well, what makes a person foolish? Doing foolish things. That's what makes you... You can't be foolish without it. Foolishness is coming. Foolishness comes to a moment, right? Foolishness comes to a moment where a person says, "This is what direction will make better. This is what direction won't." Or I get to the point that I say, "I don't care about the moment. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't seem important to me." Or I don't have enough. Lord help us, because this is a burden I have today. I don't have enough to make it important. I don't have enough value on something to make it important. I do what I do because the things are valuable to me. I don't do what I don't do because it's not valuable to me. or not valuable enough to me. I will pick it up if it's easy, and I won't do anything if it's hard. Right? If it's very valuable to me, I'll do anything I have to see that accomplished. If it's just a little bit valuable to me, it's got to come easy. If I really don't care much about it, it's going to have to fall into my lap. Or I'm not going to do anything to make it that way. Well, these people came to a moment. But sometimes we think about the moment being where they are at the time of saying, Lord, let us in. That ain't the moment. That's not the moment that the songwriter was worried about. That was the end of the thing of the moment. The moment that he was concerned about what a moment might cost is when you're not pressed and you're in your full faculties and you're making decisions about life and you don't care enough about the oil to get any. It doesn't matter to me. I don't see anything making it worth it. So if I look, I'll just say, you all may not know what this is, but for the last few years, as a side thing, I plant ginseng. Ginseng's a very, if it grows right and grows the way it's supposed to, it's a very profitable thing to do. You can get money out of the roots, ginseng roots, and people use it for herbs and different things like that. And it takes somewhere between 7 and 9 years for it to mature to be able to get it. I mean, to dig it, to get any money out of it. And yet every year, I plant it anyway. I started 2 years ago digging a little bit of it. But it took like 7 years. So I planted last year some, knowing that I'm going to have to be about 70 years old before that starts doing that. I mean, the moment doesn't work if I wait till 70. You understand what I'm saying? To invest something by its nature means that you put something in to get something out later. So here's the story. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now there's a great illustration here because I see great effort in this. I see great effort and care to maintain the fact that they were virgins. The fact that they were virtuous. The fact that they had lamps. The fact that they was mobile. They were moving. They were going somewhere. The fact that they wasn't stagnant. They wasn't living to the flesh. All of these things seems to show a certain amount of care of something. And yet, the time, the moment to get the oil is before you need it. You can't wait to get oil when you need it. It's not there. You've got to get the oil beforehand. There's got to be a moment somewhere there that you take the initiative to say, I've got to make sure that I've got enough oil for this journey. There's got to be a time that matters. And you may say sometimes that I have my morning devotions, I pray, I do my stuff, and I don't feel great benefit from it. It's your moment. It's your moment. It's the time for it. It's not the time to reap it all. It's just the time to get. You don't see the end of it. So the five that were foolish, they took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. There was a moment there till there was five of them that said, if you'll give me the liberty, I'm desperate for this. I'm concerned about this. Sister Mary, this is more important to me than anything else. So important that I'm going to make sure that I have enough oil to make this journey. I'm going to make sure of this. The Lord has allotted me time. I've got time right now, a moment. I've got a moment. I've got a moment now in my life. I've come to this point. It's time to go get to see the bridegroom. I'm at this point. Here's my moment. And now what am I going to do with my moment? I have to ask this question. It isn't answered. But for us to consider, do you think there could have been an excuse of the five foolish ones? I didn't have time.
There you go, brother.
I would have done it if I had time. And I have to ask the question, so what was they doing when the wise was getting oil? The wise could have said, yeah, same amount of time. Listen, you can't tell us apart. We're on the same duty. We're in the same structure. We look the same. We're the same. That's the point that he's trying to make here. You can't. Here's the deal. And the wise got the oil, and the foolish didn't. That's what made them foolish. They didn't get the oil. I can identify them directly by being foolish because they had something they had to accomplish, and they wasn't wise enough to do it. They were foolish in the sense that they thought they could get through somehow. Somehow I'm going to make it. Oh, he said. The songwriter said. Oh, I thought of those years. I thought of the time. I heard those footsteps. I heard all that, and I thought, what a moment might cost. What a moment might cost of frivolousness, of indifference, of not gaining, of not getting. And again, I don't think that you look and say at the end and say, well, way back there you missed a moment and you can't tell it now. That's not what this does. The moment lost back there shows up greatly over here. It's a big, you don't start way off. You take one step the wrong direction. It's just one step. It's one step. That poor guy, just one step. One step the wrong direction means you turned and pointed the wrong way. And that moment can cost a person so much in their life. And there's another example. I'll just finish this one. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And they all slumbered and slept. Do you know there was five of them that had the privilege of it? There was five of them that could lay down and sleep okay. They took care of it. They took care of it. They'd been wise. The moment had come. And that means now the moment of slumbering, sleeping, you don't have to pay for that now. You took care of it. You can lay down and peacefully sleep. Got it took care of. Thank the Lord, I got it took care of. You know, if all 10 of them, or 100 or 1,000 people, was to be destroyed in a moment. Tonight, they go to bed and they don't wake up. There can be, the wise can say, it's well with my soul. I'm fine. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And everybody that's not ready, it would be said of them, that fool, you laid down without taking care of your moment? That's terrible. It's a terrible idea. So the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Oh, waking up and say, oh, the bridegroom, it's what we're waiting for. It's what we come for. This is exciting. This is woeful. This is exciting. This is terrible. This is wonderful. This is awful. Five and five. You shouldn't have went to sleep if you didn't have oil in your vessels. There's a moment to lay down. Do you know there's a moment to lay down and go to sleep? There's a moment. You get your moments. Lay down and go to sleep. If your vessels is full, it's a good sleep. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. Brother, what happened to your moment? I mean, there was no... The Bible don't get into all the criticisms that Marty Clevers can think about. Because I can come up with some criticisms. Are you for real? You don't have oil? You lay down here and went to sleep with the rest of us and you didn't have oil? What did you do all day?
That's
what I do. That's just a kind of a joke. I don't say it, but somebody came to me one time, me being a preacher, people can say stuff. The reason I wasn't at service was yesterday. I had to go shopping. And I said, I didn't say nothing to you. Well, I just wanted you to know. I had to. And I said, okay. Well, you got to eat. I said, okay. You got to eat. It's true. I didn't say nothing. And then I said, like I say, I'm too lighthearted. But I said, what'd you do yesterday? You know, I said, what'd you do Saturday? Oh, yeah. Okay. But you got your moment. You choose to do what you want to with it. But the excuses don't work with the Lord. What's important? What's important? Okay. These came to this way and said, trim our lamb. And they said, the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. You had a moment. You had a moment. You just didn't do it. And the foolish said, wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy yourself. Now, we know the whole story here. They go, and then when they end up coming back and saying, Lord, let us in, said, I don't know you.
That's right.
Who are you?
Oh, I don't know.
They had their moment. We all are faced our moments. There's a, let's see, where is this? 15th of Luke. Familiar story. And he said, 11th verse, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Story of a young man. I feel for this. I feel for the, the challenges of youth and trying to, what they say, find yourself and find excitement of the life and what's the world about and those kind of things. And young man comes to a certain moment. You come to a moment. There's critical times in life. I think in the formative, what they call the formative years, you got to be careful with little children, because I think it's important moments. I think it's easy to build, and I think it's easy to destroy. I think it's easy to make character, and it's easy to put scars. I think the formative years are moments that ought to be looked at delicately, because those moments are important in what seems to be not important to somebody that's faced the challenges and the bruises of life, doesn't understand sometimes that it's not that way with a child. A child can be touched by something that didn't touch an adult and can be scarred with, and it can make a difference in their whole life. And they become moments, and not necessarily moments of decisions, but it can be moments that mold a person. I always use the illustration, if you'll let me go this far, but I always like to use hunting dogs. And my dad always told me about hunting dogs to never put a dog, a hunting dog, especially on something that's vicious like a coon or something he's got to fight. Don't let your pup fight something like that until he's old enough to have dog in him. You don't want to put a 3-month-old pup on a big coon and let him get his ears chewed down, because he'll probably run from every coon for the rest of his life, no matter how big he gets. But you take a dog and let him get up to about 11 or 12 months, it's usually pretty good. He's got dog in him then, and now you can't do anything but make him mad. And the more he gets bit, the madder he gets. And the more he hates coons, and the more he wants to chase them. But you can't do that as a pup, because they got something different in them. And you can't allow a child in those moments. I'm just saying this, bring a broader point. You can't allow those moments are important. And so this young man come to a certain place, though he was above that. Now he's in the place so he can make a decision. He says to his dad, this is a moment, folks. This is the moment. He got in his mind a step towards something that wasn't good for him. It's where he said, Father, give me that which belongeth to me. I'm going to do something more than I've done before. And before he got way off down there in riotous livings, he was a few feet from his father's door. And there was the moment that he decided that I'm going to go down this long, winding road. And I'm going to get further off as I go. But it was a moment, folks. It was a moment that got him. It was a moment that got him down there. There was a time of decision, the place that he said that I'm going to do this. I can say this, that the whole story could be different. It's a good story because it speaks so highly of God's redemption. I'm glad for this story. But I'm going to tell you, everyone that went down this story never come back. There's a lot of people that never got the opportunity to ever come back. They died in the hog pen. They died down there. They died down there. That moment took them farther and further and further away and further away. I recently heard a story. It was very touching to me. But there was a story. This guy told the story. I don't even remember where I heard it, but I heard it. So this story, guy telling a story, and he told a story about being in the prison, kind of debating some guys in the prison about the word of God, and the guy was just saying that it's worthless. I mean, the Bible's not nothing but a book, and it's not worth anything. And so he took the Bible and threw it in the trash, and said, "Well, if it's no good, I mean, if it's just ink and paper, then just throw it in the trash." And he threw it in the trash can, and there was a man there that was upset, a big man in there, and he was upset, and he come and got the Bible out and said, "Don't do that. Don't you throw that Bible away." And he said, I want to tell you my story. And this was the story that the man told. The man told the story of, he said that when he was a young boy, his mom, the only thing he remembered his mom ever giving him, gave him a Bible. And she wrote a love message on the inside of the Bible from Jesus to him. This is she wrote it about Jesus loving him and wrote this message on there, and she gave him that Bible, and he had that Bible in a as he grew up, he had it in a back, like a backpack he had there. And he said life got worse for him and worse for him. His mom dies, I think, and he ends up worse and worse, and he ends up somehow he come into some money. And so when he come into the money, he ended up partying, and he got into drugs, and he kept doing that until the money run out. When the money run out, the friends run out. He lost all of his possessions. He lost everything that he had. He ended up out and down and out, and somewhere along the line, he lost his backpack that had the Bible in it. Anyways, told the story that he ends up on the streets, literally sleeping on the streets. And he said there was a man that would come by to try to help people, and he would get them sometimes and say, "Come and help me with something and I'll pay you well." And so one day this guy came after the years had rolled by, and this guy is destitute and all that. He come and he got this guy and another guy and said, "Come and clean me these apartments, help me clean these apartments out and I'll pay you well for it." So they went, and he said he still had a crack habit and all this stuff, and he went and helped to do this, and he had a downstairs. He said he cleaned out the junk out of there, and the other guy was cleaning upstairs. And he got done first, so he went up to help the guy upstairs. And he went up the stuff, and the guy told him, he said, "You want me to throw this in the dumpster, this pile of stuff?" He said, "No, that's some stuff I thought might be valuable. You might want to look through it. Maybe we can get something out of it." And anyway, he looks and he sees this old backpack, and he looks and he pulls this Bible out. And he opens the Bible, and there's the after all those years, he found the Bible that his mom gave him, and he said that God had touched his heart. He had converted. He said, "The Lord has done so much for me. Don't you abuse it." But he was telling about what the Lord can do. But there's moments, folks, where people go. There's moments is what makes a difference. God is so good to do things like that to remind us about that He's real. But I'm going to tell you, Most people don't start off way off. You don't start off with a crack habit. You don't start out on the streets. You don't start destitute. You don't start down there wishing somebody would feed you hog food. You don't start that way. You start with a moment of a decision where you make a decision that seems unimportant to you. It doesn't seem like it could be that if you would have saw the end of it, you wouldn't want to make the decision. But you see, it's just a moment. Oh, and I thought what a moment might cost. What that decision at that moment might cost, where I choose to do something and set my course towards something that's going to be a detriment to me and to everybody around me. A certain man had two sons, and the younger said to his father, "Father, give me that portion of goods which falleth to me." And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, I'm going to bring this back to a moment. Aren't you glad that God is willing to give you a moment back?
Yes.
You can have another moment. This man I told you about with the Bible, he had made a choice in a moment and went down a path. And then the Lord brings that Bible back and gives him his moment. You got a moment. Here's your moment. And the same thing happened to this young man. After all of that, he had in his mind that maybe the moment couldn't be as full as he thought. Maybe you would want more, but he said, at least I could be, maybe I could eat. Maybe I could at least not be hungry and all of that. And he didn't realize what the moment really meant when he said, "I know what I'll do. Here's my moment. My moment's come back around. God has given me a moment." And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father." Here's the moment where he said, "I'm tired. Sin has worn me too much. It's took too much out of me." Here's the moment where I can say, "I'm going back. I'm going back to my father." There's the moment. I'm going to tell you what. He didn't instantaneously appear back there, but he did start a journey, didn't he?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you today, you got to start somewhere. God will give you your moment.
So.
God will give you your moment to where you can say, "I am tired of this.
Yes,
Lord, take me back home. Take me back home." I was telling, it's on Fox News, I just read it today, an article about a young lady, very interesting. A young lady that got deceived by the transgender movement. She had so much stuff in her life, and she goes through it. She ended up trans. What do they call it? Transisting or trans?
Transitioning
to a man. She'd done all that she'd done to that, and she ended up saying in it about how disappointed she was. She said, "Nobody ever told me. None of the professionals. None of the counselors, nobody ever said anything, but this is the positive thing that you need to do." None of them ever suggested that there would be problems with this and that I wouldn't be happy and that I would regret, and nobody ever told me, and I am. And she's done all of these, and she, there was a moment, and things happened in her life, and she wasn't raised the way I was, and she had things in there. She'd done all these things, but she did end up running into people that did love her and did that. And we might look and say that's all, and it is, but folks, it's not. There's still a moment. There's still a moment. And this, she has this on there. She said, her name was Kayla, I think, and she said that she ended up being Bryson, and she couldn't stand the name of Kayla and all this, and she finally, she still had so many problems. She just needed so much help, and she ended up telling who thought that she was just a man, this pastor and his wife, and she ended up telling her all the thing was, and she started anyway. She ended up searching for God, and God ends up, and she said she had a moment, she had an experience with the Lord. And the Lord said to her, and she said it was so startling to her that she hadn't, for years she had not even recognized the name of Kayla. And the word came to her and said, Kayla, return unto me. And she said the name Kayla was not dysphoric anymore. It was something beautiful stuck with it. And the Lord said, return to me. And she said, it was the first time I ever realized I can go back. I don't have to be, I can be the woman that God made me to be. And even after all this, she says, God gave me a moment, a change that I can go. And she retransitioned. Folks, it's a lie of the devil. And the God gave her a moment and said, Kayla, Kayla, return to me. And you know that was a moment she got a hold of and embraced that started the journey back. They had done all these hormones and stuff. She had a beard and all this stuff. And there's a picture. She transitioned back. She said that she regretted that she understood now that God had made her the woman that she was supposed to be. And I told Linda, we do go through life, but what she needed back when she was 12 was Kayla, come to me. She never got to hear it. That was the answer of all of that journey. Of the moment that she took of all those to make those decisions that went down that long, dark journey. Aren't you glad there's a moment that God will give us to say, turn around. Come back to me. Come back to me. So, the young man says, after he got his mind back, I'll arise and go to my father and I'll say to him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw and had compassion and run and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and again in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the robe and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet. And I want to tell you, this young girl, I don't know the situation altogether. I knew the story, but I'm going to tell you this. God can restore her, and she can be a vessel for him, and she can be a loud voice for the truth. And to be able to spread the truth, God can use her in a mighty way. But I am so disgusted. I'm the worthless. No, you're not. No, you're not. You follow your moment, and I'll make you a king. I'll make you queens out of you. I'll put shoes on your feet. I'll put robe on you and give you my singleness, a ring. You will be a witness for me. Wow, a moment. What a moment might do in our lives. We know the story about this, of course. And I just want to end with one more, I won't go to it. But there was another passage of Scripture where there was talks of a rich man that fields brought forth plenty. And I want to say he took his moments. He had to have. You cannot, without the moment that you say, I'm going to invest in seeds, because you can eat seeds, whatever you plant, you can eat it. You could grind it, you could sell it. And at some point, in a moment came that he says, I'm going to invest this and get many fold. So he planted. He planted these fields. And that moment came, and his moment was as the expectation and the understanding that what you plant grows. He understood that it took time to get it. He understood that it was multiplied. He had everything in his arsenal that he needed to deal with. And he said it brought forth plenty. And he says, you know, on the internet, on the messaging thing, there's these little, what do they call them, emojis? What do they call them? Is that what they call them? Any one of them is, I use this one a lot because I don't know what I'm, a lot of, it's something like this. It's a thinking one. I'm thinking. I think I kind of picture this guy. I know what I'm going to do with all this stuff. It's just some night. My fields are full. My barns aren't big enough. How am I going to deal with this? I know what I'll do. I'll tear them down. I'll tear the barns down, build bigger ones. And then I'll have room in my barns to put my fruits. And then I can say to my soul, take your ease, because you've got much laid up. You got, no, wait a minute. You forgot a moment. Somewhere along the line, you've understood the course. But you didn't take the moment. I can understand how this world, Jesus had the same criticism of the Jews or the people that come and said about the sun. You all can look at the sky and see what the weather's doing. You can see the signs of the times and the things around you. You can see the weather, I'm saying, but you can't see the signs of the time. You have the same capacity to see that as this if you open your eyes. You have the same ability to seize the moment. You understood this. That investing takes time to get the benefit. You understand that? Somewhere along the line, folks, we've got to invest for eternity. You say, well, I ain't getting much out of it, Sister Mary. Well, you can get some in services, you can get some in the Bible, you get some in the Lord's Prayer, you get an artist. But if you're going to get it, you're going to have to invest in it. And you have your moments. You got your moments. There's moments now you can say, this camp meeting happened, this happened, the Lord visited me there, I had this inspiration. I have my times. You have your moments. But somewhere along the line, this man, and I am pretty convinced of this in the story, because he ends up saying to him, thou fool, this night will your soul be required of you? And then whose stuff? Who cares? You've done everything. But somewhere in the vast space of your time, you had moments that you missed. You did not plant at the right. You could say to this farmer, rich man, I gave you a season to plant. And you didn't plant. You had time and time to plant. You didn't take the moment. And you have no expectation that there's going to be a harvest. Because you didn't take the moment. Now, I said this year, I garden every year, and I'm busy with so much stuff now. And I said, am I going to garden? Am I going to garden? And I ended up thinking, I've just got too much stuff this year to garden. I'm going to let the garden, I'm going to give it that 7-year rest on my ground or something. And then I got to thinking, I sure like those fresh potatoes when they come out right out of the bin. So I better at least put, and then I got to thinking, do you ever pick a fresh, ripe tomato right off of the vine? And I got to thinking, boy, sometime about July, I'm going to want one of them tomatoes, and I'm not going to have one if I don't get the fresh potato now, and I don't get the tomato. But I'm not going to get it at harvest time if I don't put them out. And I'll have a moment to do it. And if I miss the moment, it's going to be too late. I got 7 rows of potatoes. I went over our board again. I said one could have maybe fed it. I went ahead and planted 7 rows of potatoes anyway. Well, while I was at it. But when the winter comes and we're peeling potatoes, I'll say, I'm glad I planted those potatoes. They taste pretty good. You'll have your moments. The Lord is going to give you your moments. I thank God that even after direction's wrong, it's the gospel story. It's the gospel story. People have run their life, taken their life, never took the opportunity. And yet Jesus comes by and says, I'll give you a moment. I'll give you that moment to change the course of your life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.